following is a paid program.
Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
Good morning. I'm Kim Hance, I think. It's so cold, my memory is frozen.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show, where we help you out if you're losing your memory.
There we go.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. But we talk about estate planning, wills and trusts and probate and Medicaid planning. It is a call-in show. If you have a question, you can give us a call at 518-476-5900. And we are lucky to have Ben here with us today.
Yes. Good morning.
It's been a long time.
I know. I get to see you guys at least once a year when into the 25th annual Ronald McDonald House Albany Radiothon. That's going on. Day two is today.
Yep.
We've raised almost $80,000. We have quite a ways to go, but raised about $80,000. And we'll start again this morning at 10. And go until 5. So
that's great. And if you want to contribute, how do you do that?
We'll have a number that folks can call. They're not in there yet, but there's a phone room. You can also go online at albanymagic.com. So
wonderful. That's such a great cause. Really,
thank you.
Good place to raise money.
We've been doing it 25 years, ever since we came on the air. When we came on in 2001, this was one of the first things that we got involved with, and we've been doing it ever since.
That's so cool.
So you said
you had a ways to go. What's the goal?
I believe it's $150,000, 1,000 nights, and it costs a family to stay there, room and board, food, everything, about $150 a night. So they're looking to sponsor 1,000 nights.
Oh, that's nice. That's
And with 3 houses, 25 rooms, it's a lot.
It is
a lot. And, it's a house that Love built, but it doesn't run on love. It runs on your donations, and we'll be asking beginning at 10 o'clock. And we appreciate all the donations we've had so far. Everybody's so generous.
That's really awesome. I've had... 2 friends that have actually benefited from the services of the Ronald McDonald House, and it was integral. Both of them had premature births, and
they're in the NICU.
Was amazing for the parents to be able to be right here and have the support, not just the support of the hospital, but just being able to be close and have the support of the volunteers in the house as well. It was it made all the difference. So that's really, 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 really great.
That is great.
So like you said, Jay Marie, it's a call-in show,
right?
And we've been dry for a while. So
we
would love to have folks call in.
Well, we got the girls together today, so maybe a little girl power. We can do some business here.
That's right. The girl show today. Well, it's also so cold. Hopefully people are just staying in and bundling up and, maybe they'll give us a call.
I think everybody would take today over what's coming tomorrow. So, which is Snowmageddon. So
that's right. What are the latest forecasts?
From what I'm hearing, the early call is 14 to 20 starting tomorrow morning sometime and then right through Monday. So
that's respectable. That's a respectable storm.
Yeah, that's a good snow. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people will be hunkered down on Monday. I think they're going to look outside and say, nah, I'll shovel later. I think I'll leave later. And I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to get in before 5 o'clock on Monday to get here? So it's a totally different dynamic. But I think a lot of places will close and I don't think they'll even think twice about it. Most of the schools will be closed,
schools will be closed.
Oh, yeah,
Definitely. Get your grocery shopping done today,
if there's anything left on the shelves.
I know.
Yeah. I saw some stories and, like all the shelves are gone, like all the bread, all the milk, everything's gone. It's like, what happened?
You would think we didn't live in the Northeast.
It's not like we don't get snow in the winter time.
Right. We know what it is.
Yeah.
That's right.
So again, call in show 518-476-5900. Always happy to take your questions. And so what are we going to talk about this morning, Jane Marie?
So today we are talking about your future, our focus.
Love it.
Yes. And planning for your future. So what does that mean? There's lots of things we talk about or we help you with in planning for your future.
Right.
And just some of the common things that people come into us that they're worried about in the future. And what can we help you with?
Right. Well, and one of the things, your future. Future, our focus, that's sort of our tagline, right? And I think it encompasses a lot of different aspects of life. And I was actually thinking about that this morning because you know, one of the first things we say to folks is everyone over the age of 18 mm-hmm. should have a healthcare proxy power of attorney.
That's right. Right?
So even at the starting off mm-hmm. age,
yes.
you know, working with young families, I mean, we really do focus a lot of our practice on elder law, mm-hmm. but we also work with young families when they're doing planning for their young mm-hmm. kids. And yes. it's mm-hmm. really things that people should consider.
Yeah, lots of people don't think about that, but I would say a lot of our younger clients have seen their parents go through some stuff, right? and they want to plan for it. I hear so many stories of, you know, my parents died or my aunt or uncle died and they didn't have a will and we didn't know what assets they had.
Right.
And we don't want to leave that mess for our children. Yep. Right. So a lot of the planning for your future is sometimes just making things easier for your children.
Yep. Making sure those beneficiaries are correct, right?
Yes.
Making sure that if there's a death, an mm-hmm. untimely death, that some of that stuff gets switched around.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, it's kind of just staying on top of all that. So what is the most basic estate plan that someone mm-hmm. should have?
We have, as you said, the power of attorney and healthcare proxy, and that's the estate plan for when you're incapacitated, mm-hmm. right? So that's a big part of this, right? Not just for after you're gone, but before that whole period before that.
Right.
And then after that, you know, a basic will, putting beneficiaries on accounts. Mm-hmm. These are some of the easy things that we talk to people about doing.
Yep.
And if you're younger, about having in your will, naming a guardian for your children.
I was going to say, it's easy to do mm-hmm. when you do. You can do it anytime. Why wait until you're 80?
Yeah.
Do
right.
it when you're 35 or 40
yeah.
or even younger.
That's
get
right.
everybody set up. And then if it changes, you can change mm-hmm. with it.
Right.
But a lot of people wait until they're like
yes.
elderly. And then yeah. it's mm-hmm. almost too late because then you're kind of flying blind. But if you
right.
do it early enough, it seems like you'd be in really good shape.
You may not have to change it, right?
Right.
You'll get it done. It's all set up.
Right,
you know?
Right.
A younger, I'm saying younger. She was my age, but.
We're younger. That's okay.
A younger client yesterday, we were setting her estate plan up and it's all going to her two kids and et cetera. And she's like, so I'll be set. I'm like, yeah, you won't have to change this at all.
Yeah.
You know, I mean. If something changes with one of your children, yes, we could change that. But if you're in your 50s, which is young, right? Mm-hmm. This is going to last you through your 80s, probably.
Yeah. Well, and it's also because a lot of times people think they rush to do it because they think, oh, I need to plan for the nursing home, right?
Right.
But there's so much.
So much life before the nursing
home.
Well,
exactly. And I think I was sitting on a panel earlier this week and it was really focused on kind of. The things you need to do to sell your home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a real estate agent and then there was a panel of experts. So there, mm-hmm. you know, was an inspector, there was a financial advisor, there was a stager. Mm-hmm. I was there and it was interesting to see each person's perspective of looking ahead mm-hmm. of things that you need to think about
right.
if you're going to consider and it made me think a lot about our clients, right? Mm-hmm. As you know, your home is generally your biggest investment mm-hmm. in most people's lives. And mm-hmm. what is it that we want to do with that? And I yeah. think when we buy a home in our late 20s, early 30s, and even into our 40s, we're not really thinking that far ahead.
You're not thinking about when you're older and living there.
Right. And what all of the different implications that happen, you know, and it was just really, that's sort of what got my mind thinking about mm-hmm. really planning for your future.
Yeah.
And
a lot of time, we spend a lot of time, excuse me, talking about where are we going to live in the future.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And that, and do we want to stay in this house? Or are we thinking at some point we want to downsize? Mm-hmm. And our estate mm-hmm. plan really can reflect that as well. Right. Mm-hmm. Because when we talk to folks about protecting assets and doing things mm-hmm. like an irrevocable trust and that kind of thing, it can mm-hmm. cause, you know, it's a really positive effect on a lot of fronts, mm-hmm. but it could have a negative consequence too mm-hmm. for some kinds of things. So,
right. So that's why we kind of need to know where you want to live. So we'll talk about all your options and Yep.
Can I just throw this in here?
Yeah.
It seems like we're having a problem with the phones this morning because I've gotten two calls through already. I'm going to give a different phone number.
Oh, okay, sure.
Because I think the phone number that we have is switching over somewhere else. So I'm going to give this phone number out just for today because it seems like we're not getting calls in. All right. So it's 476-5905, which is the number you guys call in when you're not going to be here. 518-476-5905. All right. Dial that number. And see if you get through, see if I can pick it up, because it seems like it's going to a different location because of the radiothon from yesterday.
Oh, that could be why.
All right, so we'll 476-5905, call that number, and I'll see if I can pick you up. Okay,
great. All right. So call us back.
Yeah, call us. Trying to reach us. That's good.
Carl, call us back. I see you ringing in, and try that number, 518-476-5905. All right, and we'll see if we can get folks in.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So a lot of our conversations, Kim, are with clients about where is your family, right? Mm. How is your house? Does it have two levels? Do you like being around people or not?
Right.
Right? Do you want to be socializing? Do you want to have your own house in the country?
Yeah. Like,
where do you want to be as you get older? And it kind of, it doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do, we're going to help you plan for that.
Right.
Right? Whether it's a trust or, you know, whether it's... you sell your house, you have money to go to assisted living.
Sure.
There's lots of things to consider.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's understanding what those options are, and it's having, you know, we always say, like, one of my favorite things to say to folks when we're doing that planning is it's so much better to be proactive than reactive, right? And so often in our work, we're getting the calls because people are having to be reactive. It's already stressful and emotional when you, when you're dealing with some kind of event that causes that, right? Hospitalization, a diagnosis of something. So dealing with that emotional piece, but then all of a sudden you have to like think about, oh gosh, there's all of this planning that I haven't done either. And then it's going to limit maybe some of the options that folks have. And those for me as a social worker are the hardest conversations to have with people.
That's right.
We have a call.
We have a call.
We have Larry from Slingerlands.
Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a complicated question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
If a trust was set up, let's say 20 years ago, and the trust was set up with the idea that the proceeds of this trust would go to an individual who for medical care and things like that. Mm-hmm. Now, 20 years later, this person is going to have to go into a facility. Okay. And since this this trust is run by trustees and is not owned by that individual, can that individual, if it has almost no income, can that individual be eligible for Medicaid?
So that's a great question, and a lot of it depends on what that original trust says. And if that original trust says that money can be spent on that individual, then that's not going to be protected, right? If it was a different type of trust that's a supplemental needs trust, you know, that has special language in there that would protect it for Medicaid purposes.
Oh, so this trust would, so this person would not be eligible for Medicaid as long as there's still money in that trust. Is that the idea?
Well, it also, depending on if the trust says the trustee can just give that person money, you know, for any reason, then no, it would not be protected. So if do you know if it was a supplemental needs trust or not?
It was not. It was done many years ago.
Okay.
And it was, the wording of the trust was that the trustees at their discretion could provide not only the interest from the trust, but also invade the corpus to take care of this individual for whatever her medical needs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so that's going to be looked at as if that trust principle is available to that person. So that would mean that everything in the trust would be considered available for Medicaid purposes.
Even though the trustees can always say, look, we don't want to give that money.
they could say that, but yeah, I think it would take a closer examination at the trust. But sounds like, you know, it would not work, but you may be able to do something different with it. I don't know if...
And the other part of that is, I know that Medicaid will look for people's tax returns.
Yes.
And the amount of money that this person, that the individual or the recipient of the trust received for the last 3 years, according to her, on her taxes, was zero from this trust.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's good that there's no income that was distributed to her, right? So that means the trust was not distributing income.
So does the trustees have to show Medicaid the language of the trust?
Yes. You have to give a copy of the trust to Medicaid as well as all statements and tax returns. Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Well, give us a call, though, because there may be some further things that we could do. You know, I would say give the office a call, talk to myself or David or Phil, and we could talk a little bit further about this.
Okay, and then one more question.
Yes.
We have another trust, and this other trust is set up. You set it up. And Harry has actually set it up. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know, even though it's an irrevocable trust, can the language in the trust be changed? For example, there's now grandchildren, et cetera, and we want to add some dependents and things like that. Are we able to do that?
Yes, you can change anything regarding the beneficiaries. So we could change it to, you know, have language about a trust for the beneficiaries. That could be amended.
Okay, because the trust is about 15 years old now. All right.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I guess I'll make an appointment. We'll have to come in and see you.
Okay. Yes, that sounds great.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day. And
right,
now
bye-bye.
We are right up to a break.
We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate Medicaid Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And good morning. I'm Kim Hantz.
And this is the second part of the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show. And we were talking before the break. We had a wonderful caller. Thanks for calling in. And just to remind you, if you're calling in today, use the number 518-476-5905.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you remembering and everything. That's
my
great.
My memory is just...
That is awesome.
Things are sparking today.
What?
Yeah. I'm going to give you three words right now, and then I'm going to ask you to remember them.
I do not do well with that test, okay? I do not. So we were talking about your future, our focus, and what can we help you plan for in the future? And, you know, most people want to make sure their kids or their beneficiaries are going to get their house, get their money, get it all smoothly.
Right.
And, you know, without any taxes, without any probate. And we help them through that, you know, by talking about different options. And looks like
we have a call. It's Greg from East Greenbush.
Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I have a question. My wife and I have a simple will. Everything goes to me. Everything goes to her. And I don't know. I just, maybe you can help me understand. Because I'm a little confused. Do I really need one of these trusts, revocable, or what's the other one?
Irrevocable. Right.
Yeah.
So your will takes care.
I mean, there's a lot of talk about that, but I just don't know, you know. Help me understand.
Yeah, sure. So I think two things that would make you want to do a trust, right, over a will. One is to avoid probate, and that's to make things easier for your beneficiaries. because even if you have a will, you have to go to court to probate it when you die. And then the second reason, the reason that most people do it, is to protect your house or your other money in case you need to go into a nursing home. And you don't want to, you know, have Medicaid place a lien against your house. You can protect it by putting your house into a trust 5 years ahead of time. So part of this is, you know, I'm not going to ask you your age on the air, you know, but as you're getting closer to that age where you may be thinking about, you know, planning for long-term care, you're going to want to, you know, think about a trust to protect your assets.
Well, we both have long-term care insurance. Does that help?
That definitely helps. What you're going to want to look at is how much does that long-term care insurance pay per day? Because a lot of people, they may have those plans, maybe, but it may not cover the whole cost of a nursing home. You know, a nursing home's about $550 to $600 a day. So you would want to go back and see what your plan covers. And sometimes we still need to do trust planning because they may not cover the whole cost.
Okay. And what about if we plan on retiring and moving? Are those things good in other states, or what do you have to do as far as all these rules? That's why, you know, we feel the will, you know, pretty much covers everything. So
yeah, so the trust that we do here would be covered, legal in other states. What you're going to find with other states is they have different Medicaid programs. And they may not offer as many services as New York does. So New York offers really great community Medicaid, right, to take care of you in your home. So if you're thinking of another state, one thing to look at is what their Medicaid program provides.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and timing on these trusts, and what can you explain the difference between revocable and irrevocable? Because I don't understand that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the revocable trust is the type of trust that only protects you from probate, right? It doesn't protect you in case you go into a nursing home. The irrevocable trust is the one that protects you for a nursing home, and that one has to be done 5 years before you need to go into a nursing home. So 5 years ahead of when you'll need the care.
I guess that's... I mean, I just don't want to have to, like, tie my money up in those things. So but maybe it's something to look into more. So thank
you. Something to look into more, yeah. Certainly, if you want to talk about it more, give us a call. Come into the office so we can go over your stuff in detail.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Keep warm.
Okay. Thanks. You too.
You know, it's funny because just on the heels of that call, like,
yes,
those are the kind of the scenarios that I love to sit down with somebody.
Right.
You know, again, we have a long-term care policy. So
yes,
let's look at what that coverage is first and foremost and talk about into the future.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, does it have compounded inflation?
Right.
How does it grow? Is the coverage nursing home only? Is it nursing home care?
Yes.
How much home care? Is it 100% of the nursing home benefit? There's so many things to kind of consider first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of like projecting out. And then as we know, right, a lot of the long-term care insurance companies have been increasing their premiums.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean for an individual that right now maybe their premiums are okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's anticipate. Maybe in 10 years that the premiums will inflate a bit. And what does that mean for an individual? You know, we're also in New York looming.
Right.
You know, there's 5 years for nursing home, but we're also looming 2.5 years for community Medicaid. So what kind of planning should we be doing to be, you know, that's tucked in the back of our memory bank here.
Yes.
That was a law that was passed. It just hasn't been implemented. So, you know, part of that comprehensive plan that we're going to look at. And we also want to talk to your financial advisor, if you have a financial advisor, to kind of lay all those things out on the table.
That's right.
And, you know, what kind of care can you afford through your long-term care policy? Is it going to cover, is your daily benefit going to cover everything that you might actually need? Or
and
are we going to have...
Do we have another caller?
Yeah. All right, this is Carl from Johnstown.
Hi, good morning, Carl.
Good morning. I have a question that's kind of fits in with what you're talking about today.
Okay.
Not planning for me. We have all kinds of trust.
Okay.
But planning for my grandkids.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Recently, I opened a Roth IRA for both of them, and I'm the they're minors, so I'm in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a trust for the grandkids.
Okay.
And I was online, and I'm trying to figure out how to fund it. If anything happens to me, the deal is with them. If they get a job and make money, I will match their funds and put it into their Roth.
Right.
And so if something happens to me, that kind of procedure is going to disappear somewhat.
Yes.
So I did a search to see if the money from the trust could, that is set up for them, could go into the Roth. And the answer was yes. Well, it said that you possibly needed to add a clause to the trust so that to remove the liability of off the trustee for misappropriation of funds if it comes to that. Is that correct?
I mean, in general, I think you would want to, you know, put some language in there that the trustee could make contributions to retirement plans, just to know that's what you're contemplating. And most trusts do have some language in there to protect the trustee. So you would, you know, you want to make sure your grandkids are protected, but also the trustee is protected. And the trustee has to follow, you know, something called prudent investor standards. So if they follow these rules and they do what's best for the grandchildren, they can't be sued. Right.
Okay.
You would want to look at your trust and see if it has some language like that, and also see if it specifically says you can do Roth IRA contributions.
Okay. Well, I'll give David a call that he set up, Harry set up the trust, and David's dealing with him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, I got advice from, we have some CDs, and David said to move the CDs to the trust.
Yes.
Well, we have three trusts. Does it matter which trust we move them to? And the other thing is there a benefit to moving them through the trust since the five-year look back isn't in play until that, I believe it's just that money.
Right. So I'm going to give you a kind of short answer because we're coming to the end of the show, and then you probably should call David. So, and we don't have time to go into what the three different trusts are, but you are right that if you add a CD to an irrevocable trust, it starts a new 5-year penalty period for just that money. It doesn't affect anything else that's in the trust. So, you know, really depending on the different trusts you have, you may want to do that, you know, and start that 5-year clock ticking.
Okay. And is it complicated to add another trustee to the trust?
Probably not. Usually our trust, you said they were done by Harry, says that you can change the trustee.
I don't want to change it. I want to add an additional one.
Yeah, you can do that. Yes.
Okay. Now, is that an additional one added, is that a and statement or an or statement?
The good thing is you get to choose. Okay.
Okay.
Your choice. Do you want them to act together or separately? So.
Okay. I mean, we didn't do two because one's here and one's in California.
Yes.
And, you know, at the time, 25 years ago, it wasn't actually easy to transfer records back and forth and the time delay and all of that.
Yeah,
so.
But now you probably could do that. Yeah. Yeah, so give David a call, and sounds like you have a couple of things to talk about.
Oh, I have a few more, too. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good day.
All right.
Enjoy the snowstorm.
Okay, yay. Thanks.
Oh, Carl, why would you say that? Come on now. He's out in Johnstown. He's probably going to get a foot 2 feet out there.
Well, I think he's putting a positive spin on it.
Yes,
right?
That was very positive. Thank you, Carl.
Because when we're little kids, we love snowstorms.
I actually love snow, too, so I'm not going to complain. I mean, it's a lot to clean up, but...
You live in the Northeast. That's the way it is.
That's actually why I stayed so many years ago from moving up here from South, is just that I love the snow.
And we're glad you stayed.
We are very glad. Aw,
thanks, Ben.
You're welcome.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Good luck with the radiothon. Don't forget to call in and give some money.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.
Times were good and amusing.